You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The U.S. Supreme Court is leaving a Chicago assault weapons ban intact. The 2013 ordinance bans assault weapons and large-capacity magazines in Highland Park, a suburb of Chicago. Today, the Supreme Court declined to hear the case. The U.S. is currently involved in another fierce battle about guns after a series of mass shootings. President Obama often criticizes Congress for not considering what he calls common-sense gun safety legislation. California police arrest the mother of a newborn found buried alive in Compton last month. Tammy Rose reports.
Sheriffs rescued the baby girl after two women walking along a path heard her cries and called 911. The infant was pulled out from under pieces of asphalt and debris inside a crevice. Authorities said the baby was born within the last 36 to 48 hours of being found. She was taken to the hospital for treatment and is expected to be okay. According to the LA Times, authorities believe the baby was born inside a medical facility before being buried. I'm Tammy Rose.
General Motors is moving to import cars from China, and GM is building them. The automaker announced yesterday that its Envision crossover SUV will go on sale in the U.S. next summer. GM will be the first American automaker to import cars it builds in China. The United Auto Workers Union has been fighting GM on this because the union wants the cars built in the U.S. by UAW members. GM is making the move to fill the huge demand in this country for smaller SUVs. We're on the web at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. The weather this afternoon is going to be sunny with a high near 55. Just wishful thinking. West winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Tonight's going to be partly cloudy with a low around 31. There'll be calm winds becoming north around 6 miles an hour after midnight. Tuesday will be mostly sunny with a high near 48. North winds around 6 miles an hour, becoming light and variable in the afternoon. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 32 and calm winds. Wednesday, a slight chance of rain after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but mostly it'll be partly sunny with a high near 49. Calm winds becoming south, 5 to 7 miles an hour in the morning, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Wednesday night is a slight chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 38, and the chance of precipitation is 20%.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses, and someone once told me that was great for commuting, to go from the living room to the kitchen. You know, you don't have a lot of traffic. Which is true, but we do everything, you know, our phones, everything, our hours. We don't charge for anything we do, and we try to help families who have someone in their family or know someone, it doesn't even have to be blood, who has a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We do it by having a 12-week, what we call family-to-family class, which is totally free, all the papers and binders and everything, and it covers just about everything about mental illness, medications, side effects, what to do in certain situations, what not to do in certain situations, what to say sometimes, what not to say sometimes, and it is a very worthwhile course. We also run a support group and where people can come. There's no registration. There is a registration for the family-to-family class because we're only allowed to have so many in a class at a time. But support group, there is none. You just come. It's on the third Thursday every month, and it's held in Flemington, New Jersey at 52 East Main Street. We also have a course that we call Educating the Educators. Unfortunately, in this day and age, with the economy the way it is, 9 times out of 10, both people work and are not home enough with the kids during the day until the weekends. So the teachers are a lot of times the ones who spend more time during the day with the children, and they are more like to notice something that may be off. And so we have this class, Educating the Educators, which tries to educate the teachers as to what to look for and what to do and who to notify if they see things. We also have a try to educate the police officers so that they are more knowledgeable about mental illness and about what happens when someone goes off the grid a little bit and how they can handle it without hurting the person or hurting themselves. So it's a very good, and we also have courses in Spanish and in Chinese. So there is a whole area that we cover, and everything is free. Today, my show, Mental Health Matters, is very, very, very fortunate to have, here I am in a small room with two beautiful women. So, I mean, how bad can this be, you know? But we have Jennifer Shaw. What are you laughing about, Kathy? It's true. We have Jennifer Shaw, who's the Human Service Administrator in Hunterdon County, and Kathy Zahn, who's the Mental Health Planner. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I got it. Okay. I would like to ask first, Jen, what is Human Services Administrator? What do you do for Hunterdon County? What is it? I didn't even heard of it till you took the job.
Yeah. Okay, so every county has a Department of Human Services.
Right.
And since we are a small county, we have all of the services that deal with the population's most vulnerable citizens all under one department. So the divisions underneath Department of Human Services are the Division of Senior, Disability, and Veteran Services. We have the Division of Housing, which is the county Section 8 program, Division of Social Services, which is your traditional Medicaid, temporary aid to needy families called TANF, general assistance, emergency assistance, and Medicaid. Did I forget one? And then Department of Human Services proper, where Kathy and I work, is what's really kind of considered the planning branch of the Department of Human Services. We have a mental health planner, a substance abuse planner, youth services coordinator, transportation coordinator, and the goal of everybody there is to really evaluate what the county's needs are in terms of all of those service deliveries. Mm-hmm. We get state money, and the benefit of having a county Department of Human Services is we have people who allow us to be able to understand what the local need is, as opposed to the state maybe determining what they assume the priorities
right,
would be.
Right.
And every one of those planners that I mentioned is represented by a committee that they have. So we have the mental health board, which informs the mental health planner of their priorities. We have a transportation advisory council, youth services committee, JACADA, and LACADA, FACADA, and CAS, who all serve the substance abuse planner. So that way, it's just not the people in our office making those decisions. Right. It really is with community input as well.
Okay. Okay, Kathy. I know that you're chair of the mental health board.
I'm the staff person to the right. mental health board.
Would you explain what the mental health board is and what it does? I mean, because after my first tour, I don't know how many years ago, but quite a few years ago, I never had heard of the mental health board. And so I'm sure there's other people out there that haven't.
I'm sure there are. You completed your 8-year term, no, six-year term, and right. now we're back for a second round.
Yeah. Glutton for punishment, I guess.
Yes, indeed. And oftentimes folks do come back and serve more terms on the board. There is, by statute, a time limit that they must leave the board for 2 years, and then they can come back. The Mental Health Board is responsible for planning, monitoring, coordinating, developing services, not just for services funded by the state, but all mental health services in Hunterdon County. And they have a professional advisory committee and a systems review committee, which looks at the acute care system, anybody going into a psychiatric commitment, a psychiatric hospital.
Okay.
And we look for appropriateness. We look for to make sure that the person's rights are being protected when they are being committed, that they're not just coming back to the community in a day or two and perhaps could have been handled more appropriately in the community.
Okay.
So we look at all those kinds of things to ensure that persons are getting the best possible care they can in the least restrictive setting.
Right.
Our newest venture through the Mental Health Board, and the board voted on this a couple of months ago, and our freeholders passed a resolution last May, was to create a stigma-free zone in every municipality in Hunterdon County. And that is really looking at an anti-discrimination model for right. all citizens, whatever the stigma may be.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus happens to be on mental health and substance abuse.
Sure.
So that's kicked off a couple of weeks ago, and we had our second meeting on Friday. And it's a very enthusiastic group mixed of all kinds of folks from all parts of the community. And we're really looking forward to really developing some good programming from that.
That's great. It's Alicia's on there, isn't she?
Alicia Stevenson,
and Walter?
Yes. And Walter,
right,
there's
okay.
three mental health board members, Betsy Hornberger, mm-hmm. who's the chairperson.
Right.
Patty Radner, who's the vice chairperson, Walt Dzinski, who is another person like yourself who has come back after filling
right.
6 years and come back now for another term.
And when he drugged me in the first time, he stayed 2 months and then left.
Well, he was appointed to the state
yeah,
Hagerty Board.
No, I understand. You know, but I never let him forget that.
No.
Yeah, he and I are good friends. That's why. You know.
He moved up in the world, shall
we
say,
yes.
to the state board.
Now, the stigma-free task force that you're developing, mm-hmm. is that going to, are you going to try and put that throughout the state?
Well,
or I mean, just
many
basically
counties,
for Hunterdon County.
Bergen, we looked at the model that Bergen County developed, and it's very intensive and comprehensive model. In fact, we have a couple of our members going up there to look at the, they're having a symposium on Wednesday, mm-hmm. so that we're going to view what their results are after a year. Also, Passaic County really was the first county that we know of. There are some counties down the south part of New Jersey who are looking at developing this, especially in a time where there's so much strife in the community and in the world. The better we communicate with each other, everybody's going to
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to ask, well, I want to backtrack a little bit. A couple years ago, we had Sandy.
Yes.
Total disaster. But you folks, the two of you, along with others, put housing up in various government buildings and county buildings and so on and so forth, which I found was amazing because I never knew they could do that, you know. But I want to ask, and I ask Jen, anybody, it doesn't matter, how can folks prepare a special needs family member for such a disaster?
So for the entire community, as well as people who have special needs members in their family, the goal that we try to set for people is whenever possible to shelter in place. And what that means is we want people to be prepared to be able to withstand 3 to 5 days of an emergency within their own home. So the same rules that apply for planning for the general population apply for the special needs population. You need to anticipate what needs you would have, and certainly typical ones in either the physically disabled or the mental health community would be medications, maybe personal care equipment, different things that they need. The second part are those things that keep people calm and comforted. If you have a family member on the autism spectrum, certainly you want to take into consideration if they rely on a DVD, for example, to self-soothe. You want to make sure that you have a lot of batteries in your DVD player. You know, everybody has the things that they need to be able to stay calm and centered and have consistency in the disaster. So that rule applies to everybody. The other thing, though, is sometimes you can't shelter in place. If you're if it's beyond what you can handle and you maybe know your own limitations, that being with people in a disaster is better for you. The counties, and all counties, not just ours, we work individually and with Red Cross to erect shelters when needed if we need to house citizens. And we would suggest that in times where there is not a crisis, familiarize yourself with our website, reach out to the Office of Emergency Management so you know when something happens, how you would be kept abreast of information about where you can go for help. Because once the power goes out and the phones go down, that's not the time to try to figure it out.
Right, right, exactly.
I have to offer some kudos, however you say that word, to Louise Hartman from NAMI, who mm-hmm. did a wonderful brochure for family members.
Right.
And that's an aid that everyone can review, as well as all of the Red Cross literature mm-hmm. that's out
right.
there to help
right.
people prepare.
The, you know, it's like in our case, we had a weird situation because we lost power. And in our house, it was out for 13 days, I think, mm-hmm. 12 or 13, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But the third day we lost power, we had already planned to go down to South Carolina with friends of ours. And so we went down there. My youngest son, he went to his brother's house in Alpha because they only lost power for one day and they had it back and everything was fine. So he stayed with them. I think that people who have, call it special needs individuals, whether it's a mental health issue or a physical disability or whatever the case may be, that if they can't get or they're not, or the caretaker isn't going to be there, mm-hmm. that they have an alternative plan, mm-hmm. either a brother, sister who's maybe married or has their own place or whatever that they could go to. In our case, it was very fortunate because, you know, like I said, our second oldest son had his house in Alpha and, you know, they had power like one day out and then the rest they had it the rest of the time. So, and we were fortunate because the night we were going to come back, my oldest son called and said, "You can come back now. The power's back on." You know, so we'll be back tomorrow.
You know? So you got lucky.
Yeah, we did. But, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't get lucky. And I was just curious, what has the county, quote unquote, done since Sandy to make any kind of arrangements in case something, a disaster like Sandy, it could be a snowstorm, it could be whatever, hits again.
We've worked very closely with the Department of Health and their emergency services to really talk about how to plan for when a situation comes up. They've reached out to most of the large providers in the county who really specialize in special needs populations, be it the ARC, Easter Seals. Mm-hmm. They've invited them to different forums where we've did a whole needs assessment to kind of figure out where our vulnerabilities were as a community with being able to respond as an agency to meet the needs of the constituencies that we represented. I think one of the things that kind of came up as a general theme is we want the agencies to build capacity within themselves to be able to handle the needs of their residents whenever possible. And the only way you can do that, no matter who you are, is to acknowledge that something could go wrong in the future. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think that's the part that we all kind of struggle with as individuals and as a collective. The other thing we notice is when we reviewed every agency's plan, they were all relying on the same resources. We are a very small county. We don't have a lot of resources compared to maybe an Ocean or a Monmouth. We have one community hospital. We have one transportation system. So if everybody has a plan to access those entities, it's not really a sustainable system. So we really have been working with those agencies to help them come up with alternatives. So when something happens, we're really making sure that no one resource is taxed to the point where mm-hmm. they can't accommodate.
Mm-hmm. And I know, pardon me, I know I tell people, families, that if they have, in our case, you know, mental health issue, if their loved one has a mental health issue and may, I don't know, just as an example, stop taking their meds mm-hmm. and go off the chart. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, they have to call the police. I suggest to families, when there is no crisis, when the loved one is taking the meds or whatever and following, you know, everything he or she is supposed to be doing, that the family go to the police station.
Sure.
Explain to the police officers what the situation is that if they ever get called to the house, they might encounter. And at least that way, when the officer gets a call to go to, you know, 111 Smith Street or whatever, they know that, okay, there's somebody with a mental health problem there, and, you know, we don't have, maybe not have to go in with the guns drawn and, you know, the whole nine yards. And I found that it has worked.
It has worked all across the county, and that's very good advice, Larry, and thank you for sharing that.
And I think that it's the same thing here. You know, if you've got someone, you know, you call to ask questions, not in the middle of the crisis, like you said, Jen, but prior to call, you know. So my question then is, where would they call? Who would they call? Or email or whatever. Like, say now, when there is no crisis.
So there's different ways to go about that. The state has a registry called Register Ready that if you're a vulnerable person in the community and you would like to alert people that you might need additional assistance in emergency, you can register through Register Ready. If you have challenges doing that because you're not able to get to the internet, Hunterdon Helpline will assist you with registering.
Okay.
Also, we have a system in Hunterdon County. It's kind of a reverse 911 system, so you can get alerts about what's going on, and that will speak to where you can go for sheltering, where you can go for water, where you can bring your pet in emergency. Mm-hmm. And the other thing,
that's
something
I never even thought of, the pet.
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of pets, a lot of reptiles to rely on a heat lamp to be able to live. So we had bearded dragons. We had geckos, a lot of therapy cats. A lot of people were having anxiety in the shelter and needed to be able to be close to their animals to kind of help manage some of their anxiety. Right. So we offered all of that on the Route 12 campus. So that really worked out really nicely. And just to get back to what you said before about mental health issues and people with mental health issues during an emergency, the reality is everybody's mental health gets taxed during an emergency, not just people with pre-existing conditions. It is stressful in ways that people don't anticipate their own reactions to. Mm-hmm. And there are services that are available. We had people at our shelter who were the disaster relief counselors. They helped the responders. They helped the clients. So it really is something that affects everybody. It's not unique to one particular population when that happens.
Okay.
We're planning a training, actually, a new training for the Medical Reserve Corps, which is part of the Health Department. That's mm-hmm. their responders, and our disaster responders, and any other staff from the county that care to take it on dealing with mental health first aid and just your own personal response during a disaster, so you can be there to help other people.
Is there you have volunteers that
the Medical Reserve Corps are all volunteers?
Volunteers, okay.
Mm-hmm. And okay. they take everyone from doctors to, you know, a person who might want to deal with the animals and want to work in the pet okay. shelter. So, okay. you know, a whole range of folks that volunteer.
Now, you've got, I think we've covered this very well. I do think that, you know, there's outlets to reach out to prior to a serious mm-hmm. you know, episode.
If a person goes on the county website, there's information okay. right there as well.
Oh, okay.
And that's probably the easiest way to sign up for Register Ready or to get on to the county OEM emergency, the 911 reverse 911 call. Mm-hmm. And that really helps when something's happening, you know it right away before all the power goes out.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's, you know, but... You wanted to talk about the new prosecutor-led mental health diversion grant.
Yes.
Okay. You want to talk about it?
Well, you've heard about it and supported the whole concept as a mental health board member for years and years and years. And Jen took the lead for our office and was the facilitator that helped the prosecutor's office develop this really wonderful model that was submitted to the Attorney General's office, and one out of two grants for the whole state were selected, I believe. So we're very proud of it. The prosecutor, as from day one, has been in support of having a jail diversion model in the county.
Yeah, very fortunate to have
absolutely.
Our prosecutor.
Because he has both a mental health and a legal
right,
background.
Exactly.
And is very
and he's very compassionate.
Very much so.
Yes.
And his chief detectives and prosecutor, assistant right. prosecutors like Dawn Solari,
yep.
Deb Factor have been involved as well. But Jen took the a lot of the fleshing out of the information that went into the grant application. Mm-hmm. So we all give her credit for that, and she tied us. She helped pull us all together
right.
in
right.
this effort, which we've been struggling to do for many, many years, as you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So we'll be meeting tomorrow with the prosecutor's office and getting things up and running.
Now, is that? Sometimes I get confused. Old age, you know. Is that similar to or is that different than the Jail Diversion Task Force?
It came out of the Jail Diversion
Task Force. It grew
Force.
Out of it. Okay.
And then about a year ago now, we issued a request for proposal to community agencies to really help us develop that. Unfortunately, we didn't have the funds at that point,
mm-hmm.
but we did have two providers who were interested and responded to that RFP. The second of those providers is Hunterdon Prevention Hunterdon Drug Awareness, and they worked with us and accepted the challenge of applying for this grant based on the fact that they were the responder to the
right.
RFP last
right.
year.
Right.
So they responded and worked on this application as well.
I know we in mental health see that there's many obstacles for people with mental health issues. The main one, one of the main ones, is stigma. Mm-hmm. You know, if I said my son had diabetes, everybody go, oh, shame. What a shame, mm-hmm. you know. Can we help you, Larry? You know, bring you lunch, dinner, whatever. I say my son is schizophrenic. They take two steps back and, you know, they don't want any part of it. And it's like, you know, you can't catch cancer. It's not, you know, you can't catch diabetes. You can't catch mental illness. the people who have mental illness didn't ask for it. They didn't stick their hand up and volunteer to get it. They're stuck with it. And it's something that they're stuck with for life. Yes, they can go on and lead a good life. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, they can. It's, but it's not something that's going to go away. My son right now is leading a very good life. He's got a part-time job. He's got his own apartment, takes his medication. If you're ever in BJ's, you might see him there handing out, oh, hey, buy this pen, you know, and we got a coupon for it and stuff, which for him was great because he was always introverted. And now he has to talk to people that he doesn't know because that's his job. He has to sell this stuff, which is great, you know, because they've seen him, like, come out. But I know that the county must see stigma involved in various things, whether it's mental illness or whether it's autism, which is considered a mental illness. I don't know that I agree with that, but I'm not a doctor. But or, you know, a physical disability or whatever. And I just was curious what, how you guys divert around it to get the results you're looking for.
So there's so many concepts that are tied together, but just for purposes of going back to the jail diversion program, the belief system there is that there's a more compassionate way to get people the care they need as opposed to getting them into the criminal justice system. If a person has mental health issues, to your point, if that's a disability no different than diabetes or something else, you wouldn't punish them if they were hypoglycemic and acted out. You would get the medical treatment.
Right.
And that's the whole premise behind the prosecutor-led mental health jail diversion program is treating people in a compassionate, holistic way, getting them the support they need, not necessarily punishing them for something that's outside of their control. So all of those factors kind of tie in together, because when you can accept that mental health exists and deal with it in a non-judgmental way, you're really doing anti-stigma actions as well. So all of this is about bringing it to light, acknowledging that these are issues in our community, and making a statement as how we as an entity want to address those things. And how we want to address it is compassionately, proactively, and getting people the support they need without judgment.
Right. And that's a hard part, you know, because it is, it's human nature, I think, you know, not in everybody, but in a large percentage of the population of the world is, you know, judgmental. And unfortunately,
what's changed is that for people is when it personally affects them. And, and I think that that's what, we just recently, and Kathy's going to have to give me the specific information, but there was a panel to talk about heroin use in Hunterdon County. I think it was put on by Hunterdon Prevention Resources
and the Safe Coalition.
The reality is people came out because they wanted to hear about it. They were willing to have a discussion about heroin addiction in our community. 40 years ago, if you had a child who was a heroin addict, that would have been scandalous. That would have been something you would never have talked about in a public way. The fact that people come out and want to have that discussion is indicative of the fact that there is less stigma to those things. And we are acknowledging that we as a community are part of people's solution, and that you shouldn't suffer silently with your family, that you can really reach out to the community to help you in that struggle.
Right.
So, and that was highly well attended, and I think indicative of the fact that we're a community that's willing to admit that we have these issues and we have the resources to hopefully address them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and unfortunately, heroin is cheaper than all the other drugs.
Yes.
For $5, you can buy a pack of heroin.
Amazing.
And people say, well, this is Hunterdon County. It's the wealthiest county in the state of Jersey, and second or wealthiest in the country, and yada yada. And I have a friend of mine who is a state police officer, and he said, you know, if you look down Main Street in Flemington, he says, you're not going to see the leather jackets and the bandanas and, you know, for the Hell's Angels or whatever to be handing out and selling drugs. He says, but you will see a fellow in a suit and tie with a normal haircut, and they're the ones now selling the drugs. But they belong to these crews because they figured that they couldn't do it with the jackets and so on and so forth, but they can get away with it as much as they can with a suit and tie and acting like they fit in the community of this wealthy organization. I was shocked. Okay, mm-hmm. But he says it's true. It's mm-hmm. fact, you know. And it's just scary to think about, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, it's like I know a lot of times people with mental illness will go to drugs. And when you ask them about why, they'll tell you that it takes the pain away that they're going through.
Sure. And they don't have, they're feeling stigma to some degree, whatever.
Right.
And they don't have that linkage to the medical person to
right.
really help them with that the illness, so therefore they sure. self-medicate.
Right.
We'll be doing our conference in May again this year, and at that we'll have all pulled together all the information and resources we've gathered from the Stigma Task Force and be presenting them to the community and engaging, hopefully, the municipalities at
right,
that point.
Right.
So this is just the beginning of some really exciting work and with some very dynamic people on board to help with it.
And it's just a shame that we have to do this, you know?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's... You know, you think of these things, you think of, well, New York, Philadelphia, L.A., mm-hmm. you know. You don't think of Flemington or mm-hmm. Clinton, mm-hmm. you know, or East Amwell Township or whatever. But unfortunately, it's here,
mm-hmm.
you know. With that, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We have with us today, they're both over there hysterical, these two. I don't know what they're laughing at, but they're, you know. We have Jennifer Shore, who's the Human Service Administrator, and Kathy Zahn, who's the Mental Health Planner for Hunterdon County. And I don't know what was funny, Jen, but you guys were hysterical, so I'm not going to ask. I don't want to know.
That's fair.
Okay. We're coming to the holiday season, or we're in it, whatever. And a lot of people, especially people with mental health issues or some kind of issue, have a lot of stress this time of year. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to cope for them. What do you suggest, Kathy?
I would think that a person really needs to review their own coping strategies, and hopefully anybody who's been in services or with services for some length of time has developed those coping strategies. And I think we all have to step back, whether you have a mental health issue or you're a mom trying to get all the kids to all their events and do all the Christmas or Hanukkah shopping. I think you need to step back and say, well, what works for me, and just take that time, and that will help to relieve some of that stress.
Right.
And if it seems to be becoming overwhelming, then perhaps you need to reach out and to someone that you trust and talk to them.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not only people with mental health or physical disability. A lot of people, so-called quote-unquote normal people, have the same stress.
Absolutely, we all, you know, do.
I mean, oh, what am I going to get my wife, or what am I going to get my husband, or what do I get the kids, and blah, 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 blah. They have everything. What are they going to get? You know, like, my kids are old. Yeah. My youngest son has got a birthday the 22nd of December.
Mm.
He's going to be 39. What do you get him? You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? I won't tell you how much my older three kids are, but figure it out, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, get a gift card. Here it is. You know, go get what you want, you know. Or you may buy them, you know, peanut brittle or something and, you know, give them the gift card. It's tough, but I don't get stressed out about it, but my wife does.
Your wife does.
Yeah.
She's the one that does most of the buying.
Well, no,
I'm
not
sure.
Necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'll go get the gift cards. She'll tell me, oh, we got to get gift cards for, you know, the kids, blah, blah, blah. And I'll go get them. It's not a problem. But it's like, we got to get them something else. We just can't get them gift cards. We got to do, you know, they got to have something to open. Oh, God. You know, really? You know. But it is stressful.
Mm-hmm. there's all kinds of stressors that happen around holidays, too. Some people have religious issues that come up and really hit home around the holidays.
And issues of loss. I think that's a time where if you have unresolved issues that you're grieving somebody, there's a lot of issues with bereavement.
Those
kind of bring those things forward.
That's true.
And I think awareness is the first step for everyone, just to be aware of what really is your trigger that might make you go through a lot more stress than you really need to.
Right.
And what were you going to say?
It's not so much one of the things that I think always makes me feel better when I'm in those situations. It's not the external event that actually causes your stress. It's your reaction to it.
Right.
So I think that's an empowering way to kind of remind people that they have some control over, to some extent, how they choose to react to events. And everybody wants their house to look like they're from Martha Stewart and have the best presents under the tree. But families have to define what they can handle and what they can't handle financially, emotionally.
The biggest thing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And it's, there's no obligation to put yourself in a situation that's going to make yourself crazy. It's important to really focus on, hey, this is what is important to our family. These are the things we're going to focus on. And you can choose not to participate in the other parts of it. And I think that there's so much more opportunity to be empowered when you really see yourself as the one who gets to determine the extent to which you choose to participate.
Sure. And, you know, it's you know, like I said, it's this time of year, Christmas and Hanukkah is, I think, more stressful than Labor Day or, you know, something else, some of the other holidays. Memorial Day, it depends.
True.
You know,
depends.
That could be
Absolutely.
Very stressful. You know, you lost your father, you lost your brother, your sister, whatever. You know, that could be stressful. But the others, you know... New Year's Eve doesn't seem like it's stressful, you know, because
consequences sometimes can be.
The consequences of you know, self-medicating, you know, with the bottle could be stressful. But no, but seriously, you know, it's not as bad, I don't think, as Christmas and Hanukkah.
Right. A lot of people, though, are isolated much of the time. And if we could make them feel comfortable reaching out and just being part of something, some event, some open house, some anything, that could help with reducing their stress level and reducing their isolation, you know, and just reaching out to everybody.
Just reaching out, right, exactly.
One of the things I want to also say, it's a little off topic, but I work very closely with United Way because they certainly have a very similar mission to us. One of the programs that they operate is called their Holiday Hands, and it's such a wonderful program. I was working there on Friday. People were dropping off donations. They were adopting families and dropping off the things on their wish list. We were bagging them up and getting them ready for them to come for pickup next week. Just the act of having people be able to put gifts under the tree for their kids who couldn't otherwise afford them. When you imagine what Christmas must feel like to a family who just lost their job and they can't provide things for their children, we have such an amazing community. And I was bagging up some of the gifts that people were dropping off, and you would have like a local entity adopt a family, and they would spend $400 or $500 on gift cards and gifts so the family could have shoes. And the requests people made were hairbrushes, towels. They weren't asking for real fancy things. You know, so, and I think that's the other part of it. It's not all about your personal experience. If you can see it from the eyes of other people and focus on the giving that you're doing, I think it makes it a more positive experience.
Yeah, my wife, I want to say it was Walmart, but I'm not positive, where they had a tree and it had people's cards on it. And she took a couple cards, you know, and one was a kid, young boy, about 10 years old, and what he wanted, you know. And, you know, and then the other one was a girl and, you know, what she wanted. And, you know, I think it's awesome that people do that, you know. You know, we don't have any young kids anymore, so, you know, you know, you want that, okay, fine, you know. But it's some way to help, you know, someone. And
I think it's a stress reliever. It really is, you know, to do something for someone else.
Right. Exactly.
And it gives you perspective.
Sure.
You know, if I'm so worried about Christmas, I'm thinking about how do I get the expensive shoes for my son and how do I get him the video game system, I'm missing the point. Spending 3 hours over at Holiday Hands and putting stuff together really reminds you that even if I can't give him the things he says he wants, we're doing great.
Yeah,
and we need to focus on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and you know, there were times over the years that, you know, with four kids, and you know.
Agreed. Yeah, oh,
there was no way in God's earth we were going to, you know, meet all their requests, you know.
Absolutely.
But this is it, and, you know, suck it up, you know. I mean, because that's all you can do, you know. I mean, this is all we can afford, you know. But it's just a lot of times it's stressful to the people who can't meet the needs, right. You know. Mm-hmm. And it's that puts them under pressure.
And that's why it's such an amazing program. And mm-hmm. I think that when you think about the stress reliever that provides to all of those families, it's just it's a beautiful program.
Right, right.
United Way, we're lucky to have such a thriving United Way in our community.
And as there, a lot of times it's just food, you know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them were gift cards to ShopRite just so they could have a meal
right,
for that
so
day.
So they can get a meal mm-hmm. that day, mm-hmm. you know. And you just, you shake your head. You think, oh, this is the wealthiest. Yeah. Well, going back at a new Walmart by the railroad tracks and see the homes that are there,
right.
if you want to call them homes,
right.
tents, you know, stuff like that where the homeless live.
Sure.
I know a couple that go to Hunterdon Medical Center, husband and wife. They live back there and have for months and months and months. That's their place. That's where they mm-hmm. live. And they go to behavioral health during the day. And go there at night. It's just, you shake your head, you know. But anyway, I did want to ask the County Mental Health Board,
mm-hmm.
under what authority does it function? Locally, state,
it's
national?
It's under state authority, and that's under the Community Mental Health Services Act.
Oh, okay.
And it's under both statute and administrative code, 1037-3, if you're specific. And I can give you all
I forgot stuff. It already.
You just
raise,
said
it.
I know.
And that determines the role and the function and who can be on a mental health board in a community.
Right.
A person who works for an agency or is on the board of an agency or even who volunteers for an agency in some fiduciary, has some fiduciary responsibility, cannot be on the board. So that they it's made up of persons that are primary consumers of mental health services or family members of consumers
right.
of doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs, and you know fishermen, bakers, and everyone else in the community that have an interest in seeing quality mental health care for their neighbors.
If they're on the board and they're not. They don't come mm-hmm. to Hunterdon County Board. Is that the same thing, or
if they're a Hunterdon County resident,
okay,
they're eligible to be on the Hunterdon County Board. If they're a Mercer County resident, every county is mandated to have a board,
right?
So they could be on the Mercer Board.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, you said that they can't. Work or volunteer or be on a board that, and I'm saying is if the company that they're on the board for does not come under Hunterdon County's board,
under Hunterdon's jurisdiction, then
right.
No. For example, we had at one point a woman who worked in the mental health field but in another county.
Right.
She was able, to, you know,
she was
able to
be on the
board.
Okay.
She lived
right.
in Hunterdon.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's.
I think the one exception statewide to that rule is really NAMI, which is on the state level, does receive funding from the state. It receives money from the Division of Mental Health and Addictions. And the NAMI statewide, I don't know if they filter any monies down to the local chapters. No, huh? Okay.
No.
So the local chapters are really self-sustaining.
Well, yeah, but what NAMI New Jersey does is they'll pay for the materials for the family-to-family class and stuff like that. But they don't give. In fact, recently they even stopped doing that.
Okay. That would be the big exception on the statewide level in order to help us engage people.
Right. But now they don't.
We've been very fortunate in Hunterdon to have a great many persons who have firsthand experience with mental health issues on the board forever.
Sure.
We're one of the boards that has really been engaged in the community.
Right.
And,
right.
And we have supporters, technical people that support us that are from the drop-in center, the self-help drop-in
mm-hmm.
center.
Mm-hmm.
They're our technical experts and provide
right.
you know,
right.
help to the board as
yep.
well.
Absolutely. And is there anything in the last 3 minutes you want to talk about? Because I have one other question. Somebody wants to reach out to you. How do they get a hold of you? By email, phone, or both? Or
anywhere is good. I would recommend, if people are interested, to check out our website. You can go on any search engine and put in County of Hunterdon, Department of Human Services. It explains most of the services. It has our contact information. The main phone number is 908-788-1253. And we have a generic email address at info@humanservices.
Yes, or humans at
co.hunterdon.nj.us, but you can get the link right from the website.
What was the phone number again?
908-788-1253.
Okay.
Or 908-788-1372, which is, quote, the mental health number.
Okay. Why don't you repeat that one? Because
908-788-1372.
Okay. I just can't thank you guys enough for being on. And, you know, it took a while, you know, because,
yes, it did.
You know, there's...
Well, we're glad you're back.
Had a little problems here and there, but, you know, I'm definitely glad that you came. And it's always a pleasure to be in a small room with beautiful-looking women, you know. What are you laughing at? Every time I say that, you laugh.
We'll take it. Thank you, Larry.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. We'll see you again next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. President Obama addressed the nation Sunday night. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
President Obama, in an address from the Oval Office regarding the terrorist attacks in San Bernardino, used his time to call for stricter gun control and, despite admitting the attack was a terror attack, again tried to classify the attack as just another mass shooting.
We also need to make it harder for people to buy powerful assault weapons like the ones that were used in San Bernardino. I know there are some who reject any gun safety measures. But the fact is that our intelligence and law enforcement agencies, no matter how effective they are, cannot identify every would-be mass shooter.
The president also called for tolerance of Muslims and for Americans to not be suspicious of their Muslim neighbors. I'm Jason Wirt.
Meanwhile, San Bernardino County employees are returning to work today. County Supervisor James Ramos says hearts are heavy, but the county must move forward. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Get your Plenty card at Exxon or Mobil and start earning points at lots of places.
So I get points for filling up at Exxon?
You sure do.
What about getting coffee at Mobil?
Points.
Streaming TV shows on Hulu?
Definitely.
Points on my AT&T wireless bill?
Yep.
Buying soap?
At Rite Aid.
Buying you a birthday present?
Points at Macy's.
Visiting your parents?
No. You get marriage points.
Oh.
Exxon and Mobil are the only fuel brands that are part of Plenty, the rewards program that lets you earn points at one place and use them at another. Join Plenty for free through a participating Exxon or Mobil station today. Terms and limitations apply. See Plenty.com/partners for details.
Big news! The new Sprint LTE Plus network is faster than Verizon and AT&T based on analysis of a recent study by Nielsen. And to celebrate, we're inviting you to join Sprint for the biggest offer in U.S. wireless history. Switch to Sprint and save 50% on most Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile rates. Yep, you heard that right. No gimmicks, no tricks. You have Verizon 6 gig for $60, 30 with Sprint. And if you have 15 gigs for $100 from AT&T, 50 with Sprint. Even if you have T-Mobile's 10 gigs.
Prosecutors in Chicago say a police officer will not be charged in the 2014 shooting death of an armed black man.
Based upon an objective review of the evidence and the law, we have determined that the prosecution could not establish beyond a reasonable doubt that the actions of Officer Hernandez were not reasonable and permissible under the laws of the state.